The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the works that I've done speak for me. May the life that I live speak for me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So, how did I get here? Along the lines of, why am I here? But how did I get here? You know, I could be at home watching football, be home asleep after a late night last night, or I could be there and sitting in the pews with you. Instead, I'm here sharing my story, bearing my cross. I'm here because of many people in my life who believed in me and gave me purpose, gave me direction. One of those, a priest, died 2 weeks ago. I first met Joel Ireland when I was 12 years old, a scared kid in a new school in a new country, having just moved here from Germany. And Joel? He was scared as well. He had just finished seminary and been ordained a deacon, now back in his home parish. He, as much as anything or anyone, is why I'm here. He was my mentor. He was my navigator. In good times and bad and questionable, he showed me where I needed to go, gave me ideas on my direction. As a teenager, I watched him, 15 years older, learning, making mistakes, and showing me that it was all right to make mistakes. Like Peter made mistakes, but still followed the call to obedient discipleship. In the past few weeks, Jesus has been teaching the crowds and showing them who he was, performing miracles. Now Jesus starts to take a different tact. He's moving to a different stage, less teaching and more prophesying about what is to come next. As Matthew says, from that time on, Jesus is speaking less to the crowds and more just to the disciples, trying to get them ready for what comes next. Peter's a little confused. Really, none of the disciples really understand what Jesus is going with here. Peter goes as far as to try to tell Jesus what to do. But that's all right. As Mother Nita said last week, Peter is still the rock upon which Jesus built his new community. We are one such community. One of the reasons to come to church is looking for good news. We're looking for hope, forgiveness, peace. Looking for a reminder that God loves us. But every now and then, there's a gospel like today's. Where's the good news? The disciples hear from Jesus that he's going to go to Jerusalem, where he's going to be tortured and suffer and be killed, but then raised on the third day. Maybe Peter didn't hear that last part. That might explain his reaction. Well, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. Just last week, Peter confessed, Jesus as Messiah. We heard Jesus confer powers upon Peter and the others, and now Jesus is calling him a stumbling block, just after saying that Peter would be the rock upon which he was built his church. What happened? Peter wanted a Messiah who would fight, who would win, who would usher in God's kingdom here on earth. Jesus was talking about a Messiah who would love. Peter imagined victory over his enemies, while Jesus was talking about the power of God through self-giving love. Jesus says, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. The cross here isn't simply an analogy for suffering that happens to us. The cross is what happens when we love. When love becomes more important to us than our own comfort, our own safety, or reputation. There's a question. What does love require of me, of you? It might mean speaking up when someone is being treated unfairly, forgiving someone when we'd much rather hold on to our anger. You know, just standing beside someone who's lonely or sitting in the next pew, welcoming the stranger, admitting that I was wrong. It might mean choosing compassion when judgment would be easier. None of these things can be done once. It needs to become a habit. That's when it becomes powerful. Remember, love is stronger than violence, faithfulness is stronger than fear, and life is stronger than death. Peter wanted Jesus to avoid the cross because he couldn't see God's plan. Like us, we too sometimes prefer a faith without sacrifice. Would the resurrection mean as much without Good Friday? But Jesus didn't just invite us to believe certain things about him. He invites us to follow him. Jesus wants that our lives begin to look like his. Jesus is compassion. Here's what I think. Following Christ means that we will seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, that we will strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. That's from our baptismal covenant. Sounds beautiful, but it comes at a cost. Because once we begin to see Christ in other people, we can no longer so easily dismiss them. What happens once we promise to respect the dignity of every human being? Question becomes, what about the people that we disagree with when we promise to seek justice and peace? The call of Christ isn't simply about coming to church and hearing the good news, feeling closer to God. It's about allowing God's love to reshape the way we live in the world. We don't take up our crosses because suffering is what earns us God's love. We take up our crosses because God already loves us. We don't have to prove ourselves to God. We don't have to suffer to become worthy. We don't have to carry whatever burdens that God never asked us to carry. That's a good line. The pastor down the street at my in-law's church, he would tell you to write that down. We don't have to carry burdens that God never asked us to carry. Sometimes carrying a cross means first you have to set down a burden, saying no to an abuser, saying no to the voices, sometimes the inner voices, that tell us that we are worthless, allowing ourselves to receive help, remembering and trusting that we don't have to do it all ourselves. We don't have to save the world ourselves. Because the cross we carry is never ours alone. Christ has gone before us. Christ is also there helping us carry our cross. Jesus said that those who lose their life for me, for my sake, will find it. When we make room in our life for another person, our life becomes larger. When we serve others, our life becomes larger. When we forgive, our life becomes larger. When we risk loving someone who cannot repay us, our life becomes larger when we give ourselves to God and to our neighbors. When we can do that, we will discover that we have not lost our lives at all. We have found them. We can become free by letting go of our needs, and we can discover our life by following Jesus through the cross towards resurrection. Maybe the question isn't what suffering must I endure to follow Christ, but how about this? Where is Christ inviting me to love? Who needs my presence? You might find those answers through prayer, and we should all pray frequently, genuinely. We may not always understand where that road is leading. Peter didn't. But we know this. We know Jesus. We know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus? Jesus took up his cross. He gave himself in love and leads us into resurrection. Jesus navigated the path before us. Speaking of navigators, who remembers last week's sermon? The airplane. Mother Anita used the analogy of an airplane. I like that analogy. Mother Anita described the different parts of the airplane and where they fall in the description of the church and how the church works. She even had Jesus as the pilot. I'm going to take that just a little bit further, add to that analogy. That priest that I was talking about back at the beginning, Joel, really, all priests and deacons. How about them as the navigator? They have the map that will hopefully lead us to resurrection. They have the map to following Jesus. Jesus gave us the map, but we still need a navigator. Here, within the church community, we also have others, like the altar guild, subdeacons. What else does an airplane need beyond a pilot and a navigator? They need mechanics and a ground crew. So, in that spirit, Mother Anita, your airplane now has a rudder.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, my friends, let's follow Jesus, not because the road will always be easy, not because we'll never be afraid, but because at the end of this road is life. And along the way, Christ is already there with us, among us, within us, in the breaking of the bread and in the faces of our neighbors, in the stranger that we welcome and the people that we forgive, in the hands that we extend, that we give. And every week, every day, whenever we take that one small step towards love, carrying our cross, we are taking that one small step behind Jesus. Take up your cross. He says, follow me. And where Jesus leads, there is salvation. Amen.